Gladly will I glory in my infirmities. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. We have these words of St. Paul after relating the many trials that he goes through. And, of course, the promise that God makes to him of his grace. It's something that we all should think about in our lives. Obviously, we all have trials. Are we glad in them? Do we rejoice when a trial is sent our way? Well, that's a tough one, Father. Trials, many different types. This morning, let's consider these. Hopefully, it can help us, as Lent is soon approaching, to prepare certain notions for Lent, certain things that we can give up, certain things we may need to change, certain ways of looking at the trials that God sends to us and accepting them. So there's two kinds of trials that we should consider. We have the temporal trials, those physical types of trials that hit all of us, and then, of course, the spiritual trials. The temporal trials, of course, many different types that we have, sickness, the sufferings that are sent to us. Robust health is not always the best thing for holiness. It can actually take us away. We start to think that, well, maybe we don't really need God. And the temptation is to think that we are something ourselves. We are great. Like Adam and Eve, we want to know. We want to be like gods. And a robust health, we start to think, I can do all things. Saint Teresa had a great desire to die, that she might speedily be united to God. But this, her desire, was tempered. A good desire to be with God, but even here it was tempered by, she had such an ardent desire to suffer for his love. To die or to suffer is what she begged from God. Of course, many different sayings of other saints. One, not to die, but to suffer. So the saints' view of the trials, sickness and suffering, send it to us. Often the soul is strengthened in suffering, sickness. It's more detached from the things of the earth, in weak health, realizing that what life is truly all about. This is not meant for us for all eternity, earth. Something else awaits us, something greater. And indeed, God's power is made perfect in our infirmities, as St. Paul says. His grace comes to us when we bear them properly, enables us to keep going with them. The many examples we have in the Bible, in the Old Testament, the book of Job, the many trials he went through. Job was a man of some wealth, had many things, his herds, his flocks, his children, good health, and all of them were taken from him. And in the end, what does he say? The Lord gives, the Lord takes. Blessed be the Lord forever. Tobias, another example. Tobias, who goes around trying to bury the dead, those that have been killed for their faith, he goes out at night, takes them and buries them to do a corporal work of mercy. Well, certainly God would reward him for all of that. Well, yes, but not in the ways of men. What happens to him? He gets back one night, he's so tired, he doesn't even enter into the house. Of course, he just touched a dead body, so there are certain restrictions for the Jews. He lays down by the door. The dung from a bird falls into his eyes. God doesn't love him very much, does he? Quite the contrary. He sends him a trial, the suffering. to endure. And Tobias takes it gladly. Other areas we see these temporal trials are daily toils. The daily work we're all asked to do. In these we all have something to suffer. Rich and poor alike, high and low. We each have something that we can suffer through. Each one has duties to fulfill, and the corresponding difficulties that go along with them. How do we respond to those? Do we carry them in order to please God? Once again, His grace will be there to strengthen us, to help us along, if we certainly turn to Him. And indeed, in any state of life, we can see God's power shine through. If we carry doing our daily duties with the idea of giving Him honor and glory. Remember, that's what perfection consists in. Doing the ordinary actions of every day, just the ordinary things, extraordinarily well. That's what perfection consists in. Our Lady, St. Joseph, when they were there in the house in Nazareth, they just did, with their daily duties, they did the best that they could. Just the simple things. That's what God expects from us. Similarly, there are other trials. Maybe the loss of fame, loss of wealth, even loss of friends that we might have to endure. For us, it is we should try to rejoice and be glad in their midst. Like the apostles and all that they went through. The Curia of Ars says you must accept your cross. If you carry it, it will carry you to heaven. Accept our cross. We also have the spiritual trials. Here we're speaking such things as temptations. The things that touch the soul, so to speak. These temptations, these trials that come upon us, things that may lead us to offend God if we don't fight against them. Temptations in themselves, as we know, they're not sinful. It's not something that we have to confess in the confessional, that we had a temptation. It's only when it's consented to. When we give in to that temptation, when we listen to it, that's when we can commit sin. Our Lord Himself was tempted in the desert, taken out with the three great temptations that were put upon Him. Of course, we know He did not commit sin. So temptation is not sin. Of course, there are various kinds. The world, the flesh, and the devil. These three tend to try to tempt us, to put these spiritual trials in our way. They, of course, God allows them for good purposes. First of all, to help to keep us humble. As St. Paul says, lest the greatness of the revelation should exalt me, lest the fact that we have the faith, lest we become puffed up because of that. God thought I was so great that He gave me the Catholic faith and look at me. No. He sends these trials to help to keep us humble, these temptations. He sends them also to show our weakness and the power of grace, to show us what we truly are. But also to show us what His power can do with our weakness. What doth He know that hath not been tried? The book of Ecclesiastes says. They're also sent to help enrich us. Every temptation that we overcome means new merit for us. In fact, the saints had prayed for temptations and the grace, of course, the grace to bear them. We always have to keep that in mind. The grace has to come with it. Send me temptation so I can prove how great I am. That's the wrong attitude. Send me temptation to show God how much I love him. There's the proper attitude. Also, these spiritual trials are sent to us to help us to atone for our past sins, the offenses we have committed against God. At times, they may even spring from them. Past sins that we've committed, bad habits that have been formed, and from them, temptations come. And if we bear them properly, we can help atone for those past sins we've committed. Thus, though a trial, they must not depress or discourage us. Especially these spiritual trials, these temptations. I can't bear it. Well, think of St. Paul in the epistle today. Three times I ask God to remove these things. What does he say? My grace is sufficient for thee. We should count it all joy when we shall fall into diverse temptations. The epistle of St. James tells us that in his epistle. Count it all joy. That's tough. Count it all joy. Whether it's the temporal or the spiritual things that come upon us, do we count them all joy? Are we glad when they come? Here's something I can suffer for God. Here's a means by which I can show him my love. If we don't, we've got something to work on. Something to work on for this Lent that's approaching. They must not depress us or discourage. To think of the good that they can do. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, St. James says again. Blessed are we if we endure that temptation, those temptations. So trials, they are the lot of each and every one of us. Let us strive to bear them cheerfully. If we do so, we can sanctify them and ourselves. We can render these trials meritorious. Meritorious for eternal salvation. A reward that, of course, we don't truly understand. We don't realize how great it is. The eye hath not seen, nor has the ear heard, nor has it entered in man's mind what great things God has prepared. We can have an idea just because we know things here on earth, things that are beautiful, things that we like, rewards that we would want. We'll just expand those an infinite number of times to think of what God has in store for us, the beauties of heaven, and to bear with these little trials here on earth, really nothing. Momentary things. They'll last for a few years in order to gain eternal weight of glory, St. Paul tells us. That's what awaits us. So let us bear these cheerfully. To bear them cheerfully can also help lessen their weight. The Cure of Ars said, I have had plenty of crosses, more than I could carry almost. More than I could carry almost. I set myself to ask for the love of crosses, then I was happy. So certainly let us ask for the love of crosses. If grace is given to us, we can bear them all. And we can bear them cheerfully, gladly. Grace will be given to those who seek it. Our Lord tells us that. Ask and you shall receive. Well, what greater gift does he want to give to us than grace? But we need ask for it. We need cooperate with it when it is given. We need to follow his laws that he's laid down for us. He's told us the path to heaven. There will be these trials. They will come to us. But this is the road that he wants us to walk on. If you want to make it to heaven, you've got to follow this path. If you go any other way, you're not going to make it there. And trials are a big part of that path. Let us ask the help of the Blessed Virgin Mary, our dear mother, she who wants to obtain for us the things that we need, especially the graces that we need, to carry the crosses, to go through these trials of life. She wants to help us out. Well, she can gain for us the grace that we need to gladly glory in our infirmities, as St. Paul says. And lastly, think of the words of St. Louis de Montfort. In all these things, to gladly suffer through trials, he says, he gives us the proper notion of what true suffering is. He says, to suffer much, yet badly, is to suffer like reprobates. We all have trials, as I said. If we suffer through them badly, it's to suffer like reprobates. To suffer much, even bravely, but for a wicked cause, is to suffer as a martyr of the devil. To suffer much or little for the sake of God is to suffer like a saint. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.